Our reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the churches of Rome. He's writing to Christians that he has not yet met. He is anticipating meeting them shortly. And in his letter to the Romans, he describes his theology, his understanding of God's work and the work of God's people through the covenant and then through the power and the presence and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He speaks also of how to live in community with each other, too. He realizes that these churches at Rome are churches filled with both Jewish and Gentile Christians, and they are learning to be community together. And so he writes this letter as an encouragement to them as he prepares to extend his missionary work into the western part of the empire, particularly into what would be modern-day France and Spain. And so he writes these words about the power of being Christian community, of living as the body of Christ with each other. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the key verse, actually, the key part of these three chapters, four chapters, 12, 13, 14, and 15, is this verse 7. "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Then he continues. He says, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name." And again, he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." And then he closes with these words, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and indeed the one who welcomes us in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I drove here to church this morning, I saw the chairs already set up on Main Street in anticipation for the parade today. And it always makes me think of something, something that I would not do, but I think about it. There were 7 white chairs, plastic chairs, set up at the corner of Rochester, of University and Main Street. And it makes me wonder, how would it be if I put one chair in the middle of those 7 chairs? How might that family or that group respond to me joining them for that parade? Isn't that a great image? Again, would not do it, but I think about it every time I see those chairs set up like that. What would their reaction be if they saw a folding chair that didn't match any of the 7 that they had set up? How welcomed would I feel, right? Or would that become an opportunity to feel welcomed as well? Paul is talking about, maybe he's not talking about plastic chairs at the corner of University and Rochester Road, but he's talking about the power of being able to welcome in the love of Jesus Christ. As I said in the kind of the introduction to this passage, these churches that Paul is writing to, these groups of believers, and they were most likely meeting in homes at this point or in their apartments in Rome. Rome probably has a population of around 1 million people. At its height, the city of Rome had running water and a population of around 1 million. And so he is writing to this large metropolitan area and to these groups of Christians that are meeting. Some are slaves and some are free persons as well who are meeting to worship. But because Rome is such a cosmopolitan city, being the capital of the empire, there's such diversity in Rome that you have Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians worshiping together. You have Christians who are coming from around the world whose ethnicity spans that of the Roman Empire, gathering together for worship. They may not share a common language, but they share this joy and this privilege and this passion of following Jesus Christ. They are kind of figuring it out, as it were, how to be the church, how to be this diverse, multicultural church who welcomes all. And so as he writes this, he's thinking about them. He's anticipating meeting them and being in their community and seeing how they're doing this, how they're making this step to being the church, because they're literally laying the groundwork for all the churches that would follow, including in a couple thousand years, our very own congregation. And he crystallizes most of his thinking in that one verse, verse 7, where he says this to those Christians. He says, "Welcome one another, therefore." That's Paul's favorite word for application, is therefore. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. He says, don't be welcoming just because it's a nice thing to do. It is a nice thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But don't let that be your only reason. Let your motivation be one that comes out of your faith, out of your experience with Jesus. Jesus, who has welcomed you into his community, now encourages you and invites you to extend that welcome to everyone around you. Become a witness through your welcome. This is one of the most profound gifts that we receive from Jesus in the midst of this Christmas season, is this gift of welcome. We know what it feels like to find ourselves in a welcoming space. We had a conversation back in November as we were worship planning for these services, and I asked our program staff about what makes them feel welcome. And people talked about hospitality, people knowing your name or calling you by name. One person, the image of I feel welcomed if I feel like the space is like a warm blanket. I feel comfortable. I can be myself. Others spoke about the scents, the smells of home that make me feel like I'm in a home space or a welcoming space. And we can think about with this holiday season, all the different scents that maybe draw us into the season, but also make us feel like the space around us is welcoming. We think about smiles, handshakes, or this time of year, this season, maybe a fist bump as well. Maybe it's a hug. It's eye contact. We in the church try to use language more guest than visitor. A visitor is someone that we're glad has come, but a guest is someone we're anticipating. We talk about in the church welcoming guests, we're talking about how we are anticipating that you are coming. We wanted to get ready. We wanted this worship service to be prepared so that you could come and experience God's love as we worship together. But also as a guest, we want you to experience that presence of God's community, of God's care and love in the people around you, where you are sitting, maybe out in the parking lot as you walked in to the church or throughout our hallways in our church campus. It's the image of being welcomed. And we know what that feels like when we've gone to a space and the person maybe we've never met before, but they call us by name. There's a spot, there's a chair for us, a seat for us at the table. People aren't scrambling to add a plate or add a chair. Oh no, we really were expecting you. Quick, get the other chair. There's already a space for you. You know that feeling of belonging, of being included, of being welcomed. And Paul is telling these Christians in Rome, and he's saying the same thing to us. He said, that is a core part of our witness as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have this opportunity to welcome. We have this opportunity to welcome because Jesus has already welcomed everyone into his community, into his family. And now we have the privilege of extending that welcome to those around us. It's a powerful image, especially in an era where being welcoming may be a bit of a challenge. We talk about some of the lines that are drawn too often within our culture. We think about how we try as we raise our children to teach them to be careful with the people around them as well, to know what healthy relationships are, what a healthy welcome looks like. It doesn't mean that we stop being welcoming. It's that we intentionally do it in very healthy ways so that we can model it to each other. We model it for our children and youth so that they then know, what is a healthy space look like? What does it feel like? How do the people treat each other in a healthy, welcoming space? How do we affirm the value of each person, that intrinsic value that God says each person who is fearfully and wonderfully made, they are precious in God's sight. How does our welcome exhibit that, reveal that, and build up the others around us? A couple weeks ago during our church conference, Reverend Boyu quoted from the Gospel of Louis Hager, one of our youth here at St. Paul's. Because Louis, in her talk, as we talked about children and youth ministry during our church conference, she highlighted her experience as a youth here at St. Paul's and how she has been involved in the work trips over the years and the other activities within youth ministry. And her gospel was this, that God is in those places where everyone is valued. So if we are living as a community where everyone is valued, then we are living out God's community. We are living out that gospel of Louis Hager, as it were. And I liked hearing that. I liked hearing Reverend Boyu quote one of our youth in particular, but I also liked the power of Louis's words, because that is what Paul is speaking of in this passage. He is speaking of creating those communities, those churches, those gatherings of God's people where everyone is valued, everyone is welcomed, everyone has a place, everyone is affirmed. And that gift is a gift that we continue to live out here at St. Paul's. Over the last several days, we've had an opportunity to extend this gift of welcome in a lot of really amazing and wonderful ways. Friday, we began our Advent noon concerts here in the church, and Susan Clark Jewell and Bill Milicevich played piano and violin, and we had a chance to offer that gift of welcome, our Harmony in the Hills team, of welcoming persons to come and enjoy this concert, to enter into this Advent season through the gift of music, to allow music to be a welcoming experience of not only each other, but also God's presence and also God's peace in the midst of what can be an anxious time with so many events and activities. But then your church extended that gift of welcome out into downtown Rochester through the Kris Kringle Market. Hopefully you were there on Friday or Saturday to see our booth. And one of the really awesome things about that booth that is staffed by church members is that the money that is raised is for Neighborhood House. We don't do that booth to raise money for St. Paul's United Methodist Church. We commit through Fish and through Missions Council and through a bunch of volunteers and our Handmade Treasures team. We commit that time to help our neighbors who are receiving assistance through Rochester Area Neighborhood House. Because one of the gifts of welcome is caring for those around us. And so if you are downtown in Rochester Friday and Saturday, you walked past St. Paul's Church downtown. You experience us living out that gift of welcome. But then yesterday, we experienced that gift of welcome through our men's breakfast, meeting each first Saturdays of the month at 8 o'clock in the morning, always welcoming in new men to be a part of our community of support, encouragement, and having that journey of following Jesus together. But then also, we had our Jesus birthday party in Rickard Chapel at noon. If you were here at church, then you experienced the joy of a lot of wonderful children and our team of adults and youth volunteers that were helping make that experience an experience of welcome. Experiencing, celebrating the reason for the season, celebrating the birth of Jesus, but also experiencing a powerful gift of hospitality. Our children and youth are more naturally inclined to welcome one another. That's sort of how we're wired. It's as we grow up, we begin to build some of those walls and barriers between ourselves and other people. But we have a chance to learn and experience that powerful gift of welcome through an opportunity and time with our children. But then that wasn't the only place where your church was offering a gift of welcome. There were a number of your friends, church members of ours, that were down at CAS helping Reverend John Reynolds do some demolition work in the CAS activity building as he continues to develop that new worshiping service at CAS. Imagine the gift of welcoming includes breaking things. By permission, not accidentally breaking something, but by permission. So in the heart of Detroit, St. Paul's was there, helping to create a space that would offer a further gift of welcome to those in Midtown and those in that part of Detroit that are seeking a church home, seeking a place where they can connect and receive that welcome of Jesus Christ. You were there. You were a part of that, creating that welcome by being welcoming people and helping to make that possible. We had Olivia Millishan, daughter of our church, singing at Noel Night downtown in Detroit last night as well, and several of St. Paul's members were there to support her as well. Today, you're here for worship, welcoming each other, helping each other experience that peace and love of Christ by your smile, your fist bump, your fist bump, or maybe your handshake as well, but by being community. This afternoon, after the parade, our youth group will be going to Cedarbrook over at Parkdale and Letica. I think it's the tallest building in the city of Rochester right now. But they're going to be doing Christmas caroling to the residents who are living and moving into Cedarbrook. It's this wonderful connection that Reverend May actually helped orchestrate, and we have an opportunity to make a connection to extend the mission and ministry of our own church to those living in Cedarbrook, and our youth are kind of leading that way by offering a Christmas carol concert for them at Cedarbrook. This is a gift of welcome. It isn't just being in this space welcoming, it's being a welcoming people wherever we find ourselves. And then this evening, we get to be welcoming at St. Andrew's Catholic Church. At 7:30, our choir and a number of other church choirs will do our annual Christmas community concert there at St. Andrew's. It's a beautiful concert, a wonderful way to enter into this Christmas season. If the parade, if the Kris Kringle Market, and everything else happening in our community hasn't got you fired up yet, I invite you to be a part of that community and that concert, to extend your welcome by your presence, your support of our choir, your support of music in our community, and by sharing this welcome that Paul speaks of here in his letter to the Romans. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. To be a witness, a shining example of the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. This is exciting. It's exciting that we can do this as a community. Not only is Paul encouraging it, but we're living it. As members here, as part of the community of St. Paul's United Methodist Church, this is how we open our doors wide to everyone. We offer this inclusive welcome because we believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem not just for a few or for the invited, but for everyone. Everyone is open to receive this love of Jesus Christ. We welcome all because God loves all, because Jesus died and rose again for all people. That's why we welcome. Paul says, too, we welcome because we have this hope in Jesus Christ. And as a church, as we live out this hope, we're practicing living in harmony with each other in the midst of all of our wonderful, diverse gifts. We're practicing this welcome each and every time we gather so that we can extend this welcome to the community around us. And so this week, I pray that you will find yourselves in places and circumstances where you can offer this gift of welcome. You may be that sign of God's peace or God's love that somebody has been looking for and has not yet experienced. But in you, in your smile, in your kindness, in your presence, in your healthy welcome, you will give them that gift of Jesus. You may be part of another seed that is being planted in their lives that is drawing them into the presence and into the community of God. And as you do so, I give thanks for your commitment to follow Jesus, to live out his grace and peace, and to be intentional in your welcome. It's one of the best gifts that we've ever been given as followers of Jesus Christ. It's also one of the most amazing gifts that we can share, helping those around us feel welcomed, included, loved, and part of God's community. May we do so. And may we do so living in the hope of the God who is with us, the God who loves us, the God who has called us to be such people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways in which you encourage us to welcome one another. Lord, first we give thanks for how you have welcomed us through Jesus Christ. You have given us a hope, a future. You've given us redemption and new life. So, Lord, as we live in the midst of your welcome, may we extend this welcome to those around us. May we be the very signs of your presence, of your hospitality, of your compassion. May we be your good news as we interact with the people around us this week. May we be signs that you indeed have been born into this world. You have been born into our lives, and you are with us even now. In your holy name we pray. Amen.